Broken Circles by Kit Brightside. Chapter 12. Found you. Ronan choked on the juice he was drinking. Over the sound of his coughing, he could hear the demon laughing at him. There's a heavy thunk as something's dropped onto the table in front of him. He recognizes it immediately. It's Rex's GPS. Are you sure you won't accept my offer? You don't seem very invested in our game. He stares at the loose wires where it was obviously removed forcefully. He knew what the demon was trying to accomplish. It was trying to say, I had enough time to go out of my way to track this down and still find you within the week. How it had found him, the criminal had no idea, but it was obvious he needed to step up his game. Ugh, game. Jay, do you have time to answer a few questions? Ronan could swear that the Tin Ninja was around, given the sudden ice in his veins, and he turns around to see a reporter trying to push a mic into the demon's face. Irritation was clear in his expression. I'm not a hero. The first crackle of electricity could be felt in the air, raising the hairs on his arm. She'd never forgive me if I just stood by and let this happen. Ronan quickly springs from his seat, grabs the demon's arm, and says, How about a different game? Oh, he chuckles, irritation forgotten. What kind of game? He quickly pulls the other after him, heart pounding in his ears, almost amazed that the demon hadn't reacted poorly to being pulled around like this. Jay Walker? The reporter calls after them, trying to follow, and Ronan curses. Do you have a damn death wish? He needed to think up some kind of game, something that would get them out of here fast, before the reporter got himself killed. A race. He curses yet again as soon as the words left his lips. Jay was the fastest ninja, everyone knew that. Ronan had little hope of beating the other. He had to amend what he'd said before the other could agree. A race to find specific treasures. Ronan was good at finding things. That he had a chance of winning, even against this devil. The other hums thoughtfully. Ronan glances back, past the demon, at the figures of the reporter and cameraman hurrying after them. What kind of treasure? Are there any rules? The first person to find five what? Something he could get easily, that the other wouldn't be able to, or that no one would be able to find at all. The first person to find five lost treasures wins. The demon laughs. I like the way you think. He pulls his arm out of Ronan's grasp, and when Ronan turns around, the other is gone. The cameraman is filming the roofs, though, so it's safe to assume that was where he'd vanished to. Now to make myself scarce as well. Lloyd couldn't understand any of what was appearing on the screen before him. It all appeared and disappeared within milliseconds as the two nindroids conducted their research. It had been a huge blow for them to return and find Cole alone. When he told them what had happened and what little the other had told him, Zane had accidentally caused all the windows in the room to frost over. It was alarming to see such a loss of control from one of their most level-headed members. Now, he and Echo were attempting to pinpoint when the exact moment of possession had occurred. Kai was training. Cole had holed up in the kitchen. Nia was who knows where. And Lloyd? He was here, pretending to be helpful. Ready for the first sign that they'd found anything useful. What else was there to do? Kai took down another training robot, frustration in every fiber of his being. A year? A whole fucking year? Or nearly so, it was all semantics anyways, and Kai didn't care about the tiny details. All he cared about was pounding in that ghost's face as soon as he could. No one messed with Kai's friends and got away with it. Is this my fault? He punched the nearest training dummy, accidentally melting its surface. His sister wouldn't be happy about that. She and Jay had been a lot of work into baking these things, apparently. If I wasn't part to Jin, would our lives have been any easier? With a frustrated yell, he throws some fireballs at the training dummy, melting it down to a pile of superheated metal. He'd have to clean that up later. It'd probably leave a burn mark on the ship's deck, but he didn't care. No one had even seen Jay since he'd left. Most villains would have made their first move by now. Having nothing to do, being forced to just sit around and wait while the others try to figure things out, that left him agitated. Kai, Nia stepped out onto the deck, giving him a worried look, but ultimately not commenting on the rapidly cooling lump in front of him. Jay was on the news. What? Kai's mind jumped at the many possibilities. What kinds of disasters would be on the report? What was it? She bites her lip, then gestures back the way she came. Why don't you just watch the footage with the others? He doesn't question her anymore. He just hurries to the bridge. The others are already gathered, and without anything needing to be said, the footage is started as soon as the siblings arrive. Jay Walker was recently seen hanging out with known criminal Ronan Yamato. The screen showed Ronan and Jay talking, then cut to the criminal pulling Jay away as the two appeared to continue chatting. Jay had a smile on his face, while Ronan looked uncomfortable at best. Has the Blue Ninja turned to a life of crime? Here's what their manager, Dereth Brown, has to say. The picture changes to show Dereth sitting with an interviewer. Jay was just trying to help Ronan turn over a new leaf. He gives the interviewer a charming smile. As you can see in the video, they were just talking. And why did they take off when the camera showed up? Ronan is a rather private individual, as most criminals are, so he didn't like being filmed. Zane stops the recording there, then turned to the others. Dereth was not happy when he called earlier and sent this footage over, he explains. Apparently he feels we've been ignoring his calls. Kai wanted to ask, what calls, but Cole spoke up before he could. More importantly, Ronan might know where Jay is. Yes, Zane agrees. That is a possibility. There is also another lead we found that might have more information. Echo scrambles to change what the monitor is showing, changing it to a picture of a man with the name Cliff Gordon under it. Isn't that Fritz Donegan? Lloyd asks, surprise clear on his face. What connection could he possibly have to all of this? Apparently, during the time you are all in different employ, the Bronze Nindroid explains, this man pulled a few strings, although no real strings were involved, and got Jay a job as a TV personality. Now, we do not know what his interests are or why he did this, but it could be possible that he is working with the person who possessed Jay. Nia hesitates. I may know a reason why he'd be interested in helping Jay. Wait, seriously? Kai gives his sister a confused look. Had Jay told her something? Well, in the future that never happened, Jay found out that he was adopted. She gestures to the man on the screen. Apparently, he was Jay's real father. But in the end, he said it was just one of Nadakan's tricks, so it didn't really seem important enough to mention at the time. Jay's adopted? Cole asks. Echo turns back to the computer and types something up. Yes, there's a record of it here. It says that he was found abandoned in their junkyard, and as no one came forward to claim him, guardianship was awarded to Ed and Edna Walker. So, then this guy doesn't have anything to do with the ghost possessing Jay? Kai tries to clarify. The timing is still a little odd, though. Lloyd sighs. I think we should still check him out. Besides, his connection to Jay might be the very reason that Jay was the one possessed. Who would do that to their own kid? Cole asks, looking upset at the thought. Who would just abandon their kid in a junkyard? Lloyd replies. I think what we need to do now is clear. Zane, Echo, you two keep looking for any other possible times that Jay could have been possessed. Kai, Nia, I want you two to track down Ronan and see what he knows about Jay. Cole, you and I will go see what Cliff Gordon knows. With that decided, everyone set about their assigned tasks.
Broken Circles by Kit Brightside. Chapter 13. So this is Cliff Gordon's place, Cole whistles, looking up at the gated mansion before them. What's the plan? Your ninja, Lloyd smirks. We do what we do best. We break in and look for any evidence of his involvement. Breaking in was easy with a ghost. Cole just phased through the gate and the front door, and then buzzed Lloyd in. The place had a pristine, modern design, with movie and comic memorabilia of some manner in every room. It was oddly cold, feeling unlived in. Where do we start? Cole asked the others. I doubt he'd just have a file titled Evil Plans out on the coffee table. Well, if I were doing something evil, I'd hide it somewhere it wouldn't be easily found. Lloyd rubs his chin as he thinks. This place is far too clean for Gordon to clean it himself. He must have maids for that, so I don't think it'll be anywhere they'd easily find it. If I were in a Fritz Donegan comic, I'd say there was some secret room, seeing as he's super rich and all. Lloyd shakes his head, berating himself for even bringing it up. It was all the memorabilia and the fact that Cliff Gordon was the actor who played his favorite comic book character on TV. He used to be super knowledgeable about the comics lore, back before he had to be the Green Ninja, responsible for the safety of the world. Hey, you were right. Cole's surprised laugh breaks the Green Ninja out of his train of thought. There really is a secret room here. What? Lloyd stares at the open wall stupidly. Well, I mean, while my dad also keeps a lot of stuff related to his work, there's really only Fritz Donegan-related stuff here, so I figured, why not? But how do you find it? The lever or button could be anything in this room. I just went through the wall and opened it from the other side. Right. Ghost. Okay, well, at least it was easy. The inside of the secret room seemed a bit more personal than the rest of the house they'd seen. There were suits displayed, one of Jay's old jeans not going unnoticed, as well as a book prominently displayed on a pedestal that immediately caught their attention. How to attract women? Cole scoffs. Jeez, what kind of person would put this on a pedestal? We should have brought Zane, Lloyd sighs. There's a computer here, but it's password protected. Well, you were right about there being a secret room. You could probably guess the password. The Green Ninja stares at the blinking cursor on the screen for a moment while Cole moves on to examine the rest of the room. He tries some stuff related to Fritz Donegan, which all fail. Then he tries some variants on Jay and the various names he could go by. When those all fail, he leans back in the chair and sighs. They might have to come back later with Zane after all. Have you tried James? James? Lloyd looks over at the Master of Earth, who is flipping through something. Why James? This book is full of newspaper clippings of our accomplishments, but the front says James, not Jay. Doubtfully, the Green Ninja inputs it. Huh. Lloyd blinks at the desktop of the computer in surprise. So, it worked. But Jay isn't short for James. Otherwise, it'd be on the adoption papers, right? Yeah, I'm sure Zane would have mentioned that in passing if that were the case, Cole agrees. Turning back to the computer, Lloyd begins to search through the files. It doesn't take him very long to find one labeled Storm Proposal. Cole, he motions the other over. I think I found it. What is it? It's a video. Well, what are you waiting for? Play it. Without any further ado, he hits play. The first thing that comes into view is the floor, before it lifts up and the cameraman walks into a familiar-looking room, where an unknown woman was sitting wrapped up in a blanket reading a book. Occasionally, she would laugh. Storm, the voice behind the camera, Lloyd recognized as belonging to Fritz, or Cliff in this case. The woman looked up and the image was striking. She had the same cinnamon brown hair that Jay had. Her eyes were the same mischievous blue, and they looked far too similar to be unrelated. Does Jay have a sister? He can't help but mutter to himself. No, he's an only child, Cole responds, sounding just as distracted. Cliff, what are you doing? She raises an eyebrow at the camera. I thought I was the paparazzo here, not you. The cameraman clears his throat, walks a little closer, and then sets the camera down on what was probably the coffee table, atop of some books that could barely be seen in the shot. I have something to ask you. Are you proposing? There's a moment of silence, then her eyes widen and she covers her mouth. I was kidding. I mean, I didn't think you... I said you didn't have to. I want to, Storm. Cliff gets down on one knee and pulls out a small box. I can't imagine life without you, so will you marry me, Storm Walker? Yes. She laughs, tears welling up in her eyes. I'll marry you. She pulls him into a hug, the book she was reading forgotten in her lap. This isn't, Lloyd mumbles, stopping the video. This isn't what we're looking for. Despite his curiosity, he closes the video. How about that one? Cole gestures to the screen. The video only has some numbers for its name. Lloyd opens it up and hits play. There's an empty chair at first, then Cliff slips into the seat, looking haggard. He stares at the camera for a moment, then sighs. James, if you're watching this, then I'm dead. He pauses, rubs a hand over his face, and takes a deep breath. You must have so many questions. I hope this will answer at least a few of them. He pauses for a long moment, gathering his thoughts, then goes on. I left you with your grandparents today. He looks pained by the admission. It's not because I don't want you, but I know I can't do this. I can't be the father you deserve. Without Storm, what kind of life would you have? Hounded by paparazzi day and night, constantly waiting for a father who never has enough time for you, never knowing if people are your friends because they like you or solely for your fame. He looks down at his hands, which are shaking, and tears begin to well in his eyes. You deserve more than that. I'm sure they'll keep you safe. Taking a deep breath, he looks determinedly into the camera. But I want you to know that Storm and I loved you. He hesitates, almost looking like he wants to say more, but then he reaches over and the screen goes dark. Lloyd almost closes the video, but the screen turns back on a second later. Cliff slides into the seat, looking older, worn, and sad. James, I am so incredibly sorry. He clasps his hands and presses them to his mouth. You must hate me. It's all right if you do. I understand. I chose my job over you. I justified my selfish actions by saying it was for your benefit, but the truth was I could have quit. I could have sold this place, gotten a more moderately sized home, and we could have lived comfortably. The fame would have eventually died down. It always does. Fame is fleeting and anyone can be replaced. He pinches the bridge of his nose, takes a few breaths, then opens his eyes and looks into the camera once more. I realized that today. I went to the hospital, furious, because they were supposed to keep you safe. Instead, they nearly kill you, their negligence leaving you in a coma for almost a week. I thought about taking them to court to take custody of you, but do you know what you said when you saw me walk into your room? Who are you? I was a stranger to you. I am a stranger to you. I gave up any right I had to be your father long ago when I chose myself over you. I realized that then. He sighs, brushing some hair back from his face. I understand if you hate me, but Storm didn't have any choice. She loved you with everything she had. If she had any choice in the matter, I know she wouldn't have left you. He leans forward, as if intending to turn off the camera, but then he hesitates and leans back once more. I don't know when you'll watch this, but happy birthday, James. The screen goes dark. Lloyd waits a moment, and the screen turns back on once more. This time, Cliff is already in his seat. He looks more composed than before. I am a fool, he sighs. I told myself I wouldn't try to interfere with your life, but I couldn't help myself. So long as you're in this business, working with people I know and trust, I can make sure you'll stay safe. He sighs once more, leaning back in his chair, arms settling on the armrests. Those inventions you're so fond of are dangerous enough. Did you really have to become a ninja? And now one of them has even died. I am proud of you, of your accomplishments, make no mistake. But every time something goes wrong, or when the world needs saving, I worry. I know I have no right, but I might suggest a guest appearance after you've gained enough popularity. Will you recognize me? Not as a celebrity, but as the man who visited you once in the hospital so long ago? You were barely 5 at the time, and you'd barely woken up from your coma, too. I'd be surprised if he remembered anything from that day. Shaking his head, he seems ready to say something more, but a doorbell interrupts him. He curses and quickly moves to turn the camera off. Nothing else plays, and the two ninjas sit in silence for a minute. Well, Cole says softly, I think we can safely say he doesn't have anything to do with this. Give me one reason not to call the police. Broken Circles by Kit Brightside. Chapter 14. Are you sure he's even going to show? Kai asks his sister, who's sitting across from him at the table they claimed. He said he'd be here, she huffs, adjusting the gaudy glasses that made up part of her disguise. Just be a little patient for once. We've been waiting for an hour already, Nia. Kai crosses his arms and frowns. I think he's blown us off. Haven't you heard of being fashionably late? The criminal sarcastically asks, taking a seat at the table and flagging down a waitress to order a drink. Now, what's this urgent business that you so desperately need my help with? It's Jay, Nia starts tentatively. He's been possessed by someone who calls himself Vipere. You've seen him recently, so we were hoping you might know something. Took you long enough, he scoffs. Tell me, did you figure it out on your own, or did he choose to tip his hand? It doesn't matter, Kai growls. Just tell us what you know. Kai, Nia admonishes, before turning a sweet smile on the criminal. If there's anything you can tell us about the ghost, it'd be really helpful. Ghost? He snorts a disbelieving laugh. Whatever that was, it wasn't any ordinary ghost. What else, aside from a ghost, could possess someone? Kai shakes his head. A demon? Look, I'm not the one who deals with the supernatural on a regular basis. Ronan pauses, then leans forward onto the table. Listen, whoever he is, he's got power. Power enough to claim ownership of a adept I thought had disappeared along with the Soul Archer. What? Nia gasps. Yeah, he said something about the contract being burned into my soul, plain as day. The waitress reappears, drink in hand, and Ronan leans back so she can sit down on the table. Once he was sure she was gone, he turns back to the ninja. I've been forced to either play his game or pay back my debt ever since. How much money do you owe? Nia asks, cringing in sympathy at the thought. Well, if you include interest, more than I could ever steal in this lifetime. Ronan sighs. Although, he did give me another option, I suppose. Let me guess, Kai scoffs. He wanted you to join him. Good guess, the criminal begrudgingly admits. He said that he'd remove the debt if I swore complete and total loyalty to him. You said no, of course, Nia states, although she doesn't sound quite sure of herself. Without any idea of what that all entails, the criminal scoffs. Of course I would agree to such a foolish deal. Again, right? Kai snorts, crossing his arms and leaning back in his seat. Because you obviously wouldn't be in this mess if you hadn't made a foolish deal before. Seriously, Kai? Nia shoots her brother a glare over her shades. What? It's true. Yeah, laugh it up, the criminal grumbles, taking a swig of his drink. It's not like you've never made a horrible deal or anything. Trade all your shares for some scroll and a few weapons. The Master of Fire bristles, growling low in his throat. Anyway, Nia rolls her eyes at their antics. Is there anything else he can tell us about him? I'm afraid I don't know much, Nia. He admits with a sour look. He's only talked about games ever since I turned down his offer. Ronan, the Master of Water, hesitates, then goes on. Every time one of those games ends, Jay comes to see you, right? The demon does, yeah. Maybe you could try and get some more information out of him? She looks at the criminal imploringly, batting her lashes and giving a small, hopeful smile. Nia, Ronan sighs. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to risk pissing off the person who could easily take my soul if he wanted. But, the Master of Water sputters. Forget it, sis, Kai huffs. He only cares about himself. The Red Ninja gets up from his chair and begins to head to the door, only pausing when Nia doesn't immediately get up to follow. Go, Ronan takes another swig of his drink. Just think about it, okay? She slowly stands up, taking the time to drop some coins on the table to pay for their drinks. Every little bit helps. The two siblings depart, leaving the criminal alone. I thought they'd never leave. Vipere sighs, slipping into the seat across from the criminal. You found 5 lost treasures already. Ronan doesn't even sound surprised. You know that the fine print is important, Ronan. And lost treasure isn't exactly specific. Treasure is merely something someone values, and loss can easily be something stolen. He hums. I would have been here much sooner if I'd merely gone by that, but that would be so dull. So what, did you actually hunt down some ancient artifacts? Ronan snorted a small laugh at the thought of the other going and raiding some museum. He'd like to see their manager trying to explain that one away. Oh, no, nothing of the sort. He pulls out a news clipping and sets it before the other. I figured something much more cathartic would be better. After a moment, the criminal picks it up and glances over it. An article about some random couple being murdered? The criminal gives the other a confused look. Just how does this count as lost treasure? The treasure of a caring family, lost at the age of 2. Ronan stiffens as he realizes just what the demon is implying. Next up is a hunk of charred wood. The loss of a home, as the only orphanage the village had burned down with most everyone in it, leaving no one to care for the children that survived at the age of 6. A photo glides onto the table, sliding over the smooth surface until it flutters off the end. Ronan doesn't need to look at it to know what it is. The loss of a mentor and a good friend who'd taken you in and showed you the ropes. The rules that you follow even to this day. He hums, pulls out a piece of paper filled with scrawled writing and Ronan's name signed at the bottom. The loss of one soul to pay for a treatment that didn't even work, resulting in the previously mentioned loss. The criminal's grip on his glass tightens. His face has slowly drained of color as the other went on, and he waits for the final item. But the demon is silent. Eventually, Ronan looks up, meets the other's even stare, and softly says, "That's only 4. Vipere holds his hand out across the table, reaching out to the criminal, and says, "Give me your humanity, and it'll be 5. His smile is serene, madness lurking deep within his eyes, and Ronan feels a chill work his way down his spine. With it, you'll lose that pain, that sadness. You'll lose every inhibition and every bit of doubt. I'll take it all if you'll just agree to my terms. I'm going to have to refuse." The criminal forces out a pained laugh. Then the game goes on. Vipere drops his hand, sighing overdramatically, his chair scraping against the floor as he stands up to leave. "Why? Why do you care whether or not I join you?" Finishing off his drink in one big gulp, the criminal turns and gives the demon a determined glare. "You could have taken my soul, or used the threat to make me do whatever you want, but you'd rather play around until I finally decide to join you myself. Why?" "It's simple." His smile is surprisingly melancholic. "If you join me, I'll tell you what the reason is." And with nothing more than that, he leaves. There's an endless expanse of sand. There's an endless expanse of sand and the dark sky above. Jay's thoughts are bogged down by useless clutter, his body dragged down by an unseen force, keeping him from moving much. Time is an illusion here. He tries to speak, the words choke him, falling into his palm in smudged letters that clutter down to join the sand below. Dark, black, endless sand. Words, letters, endless, useless, pointless. He focuses on breathing. Where am I? His fingers sink into the black sand below him as he pushes himself up to stand. His legs feel almost numb in their weakness. Slogging through the sand with its give is a task so tiring, Jay nearly gives up and resigns himself to sitting in this desert of words, letters, endless darkness, and eternal pointlessness forever. The sky rumbles up above. One foot in front of the other, over and over and over. For a time, he loses track of himself. He isn't thinking of what is or isn't, he just is. There's a peace to non-existence. There's a peace to non-existence that's utterly frightening, terrifying beyond all measure. Where am I? He is shaken from the strain, from the effort. Tired and heavy, he just wants to lie down and sleep. He tries to speak, forgetting, choking on the letters that stick in his throat. Where am I? He trips, stumbles, falls. He forgets for a time, forgets the questions, forgets the location, destination, the where and when. He forgets himself. There's a peace to non-existence. He struggles, his very bones aching from the strain. He struggles, back on his feet. Slowly, so very slowly, forward, or is it backward now? Where am I? There's an endless expanse of sand. There's an endless expanse of sand and dark sky above. He's forgetting something. Has he remembered himself? There's a sort of peace to non-existence. Time is an illusion here. The sand is words, letters, endless, pointless. Jay collapses. Jay forgets. Where am I? There's an endless expanse of sand. Broken Circles by Kit Brightside. Chapter 15. Jay's in trouble. That had been all Cliff needed to hear to change his attitude from cold fury to worry. He wanted to know what the trouble was. And so the two ninja found themselves being interrogated over coffee. And you thought I had something to do with it? The actor asks at the end of their explanations, seeming troubled by the thought. We couldn't ignore the possibility, Cole says apologetically. We're scrambling to find anything that can help us, but so far we've got nothing. I see. Cliff sets his cup aside and gives the two a serious look. Then I won't keep you any longer. Before you go, I have an offer and a request. If there's anything I can do to help, don't hesitate to call this number. He pulls out a business card, flips it over, and writes down a number on the back. He hands it to Lloyd, who looks it over for a moment before asking, "And the request?" "Forget what you saw here today." Cliff picks his mug back up, wrapping his hands around it for the warmth that had mostly faded by this point. What? Lloyd's brows pinch in confusion. I mean, I guess it's kind of embarrassing, considering you've practically built a shrine to Jay. Cole clears his throat and subtly shakes his head at Lloyd. The green ninja is confused as to what the ghost is trying to get at, so Cole just rolls his eyes and turns to the actor and says, "We won't tell anyone what we saw here," Cole promises. "But everything we found out outside of here is fair game. Jay deserves to know the truth." Cliff Gordon's stare is heavy, but Cole doesn't budge. "Fine," the actor stands, signaling the end of their conversation. "I can't stop you." He escorts them to the door, likely to make certain that they don't wander off to look through any other personal things of his. The steady rhythm of tapping and clicking fills the bridge as Zane and Echo work together to look up information. They'd already found most everything there was to find. even going back a few weeks prior to the incident to see if there was someone who was stalking the Blue Ninja, but their search was ultimately fruitless. Brother? Echo breaks the silence. Yes, brother? Zane pauses in his search to meet the other ninjoid's worried gaze. Will he be all right? Zane's first instinct is to say, yes, of course. But he stops short. Echo is watching him, waiting for an answer, but Zane finds he can't. His own worry is too great, clouding his vision, and nothing seems certain. Brother? Echo's worry only grows, and guilt eats away at Zane, that he couldn't be a proper older brother and assuage the younger's fears. Did you find something? Kai asks as soon as he steps in, the others all filing in after him. Because we didn't get much. Yeah, Cole sighs. We only found out that Cliff wasn't involved. I am afraid we did not find anything of use, Zane tells the others. There is nothing we can find that would give us an idea of when or who could have possessed Jay. Ronan seems to think that Vipere was a demon. Nia shrugs. He said that he managed to take ownership of the debt he owed to the Soul Archer. I suppose we could look into types of demons, see if any of the legends match up with what we've seen and heard so far. Which isn't much. Lloyd kicks at nothing on the ground, seeming agitated. Have there been any more news reports? No, Echo shakes his head. Although Derek did call to ask us what was going on and to demand that we return his calls from now on. A message pops up just then with a new call. It is an unknown number. Echo looks to his brother, silently asking what to do, and Zane gives him a small nod. The bronze ninjoid answers the call, causing a black screen with lines that change with the audio levels to pop up. Whoever was calling was using a normal phone, not a video phone. Hey, it's Ronan. The infamous criminal's voice rings out clearly. Ronan, Nia sounds happy. Did you find anything new? Nine less petty jackass counts as new. He sighs, aggravation clear in his tone. After our last game didn't go the way he wanted, he decided to take Rex. I found out this morning when he left me with just my keys and some note covered in gibberish. Oh, then why did you call? The Master of Water asks. I'm going to need your help in tracking down my ship. Did you keep the note? Zane asks suddenly. What? Ronan seems confused. Am I on speakerphone? Yes, Echo replies. Ah, jeez, you tin cans are impossible to tell apart over the phone. But you are aware that both of us spoke. You must be able to differentiate our voices to some degree. You're the rust bucket, aren't you? I am not a bucket. Thought so. Ronan, Zane says forcefully, dragging the other's attention back on topic. Did you keep the note? It's probably still in the trash can in my room. You could practically hear the shrug in his voice. Why? I think I might be able to read what it says. It's not like it's just bad handwriting, Ronan scoffs. It's just a bunch of random scribbles. I will explain when we arrive, Zane's tone is clipped. Now, tell us where you are. Jeez, what's got your plating in a twist? We're all on edge, Ronan. Cole very nearly sighs. Now isn't the time. Fine, fine. I'll tell you where I am. No matter how much Ronan stared at the note, he couldn't figure out why the tin can was so interested in it. It was just a bunch of random symbols as far as the criminal could tell. No real meaning or directions that could lead him to his ship. He crumpled it back up and tossed it onto the desk in his room. The ninjoid had insisted on meeting inside the room as opposed to outside for some reason, and he just hung up on him when the criminal asked why. Ronan knew that the ninja, sans Nia, all disliked him to some degree, but Zane had always been polite at least, until the criminal messing with his brother had soured the walking toaster's attitude towards him. A loud rapping on the door broke him from his thoughts. Springing up from his seat on the bed, he quickly opened the door and leaned on the doorframe. You don't look like room service, he snarked. That is because we are not, Echo says innocently, giving him a worried look. Do you not remember us? We spoke on the phone moments ago. I remember who you are. He rolls his eyes. Come on, get in here. He stands back and lets them in. The titanium nindroid pausing only to scan the room before making his way over to the desk and smoothing out the crumpled paper. I never said that was the note, Ronan scoffs. It is the only paper here, unless you have it on your person, which I doubt considering you'd previously thrown it away, Zane says over his shoulder, not even bothering to look up. Fine, it's the note, Ronan admits. Can you make any sense of that gibberish? It isn't gibberish. Zane lifts the note up to the light. They're runes. Wait, runes? Cole sits up, surprise appearing on his face. You mean like, do you think Vipere was the one who was writing in that book? Book? Ronan glanced between the two, then at the note, and a memory hits him. The book he'd taken, he remembered finding it full of gibberish, so he just dumped it somewhere random. No, I don't believe that Vipere would write what was written in that book. Lowering the note once more, the nindroid pulls out a pen and starts writing on the note. And I do not think Jay wrote this note, if you are wondering. Wait, what book are you guys even talking about? Kai asked, looking miffed at being left out of the loop. Jay had some kind of secret diary that Zane read. Cole says it like it's no big deal. It was full of runes, too. Hey, Zane, are you sure Jay didn't write that note? Positive. The handwriting is different, and it's only a bunch of coordinates along with the words, Happy Treasure Hunting, written on it. He holds up the note with his changes for them to see. Don't tell me. Ronan can't decide if he should be more exasperated or angry. He took apart Rex, scattered her pieces everywhere, and now I have to go to those coordinates to get them back. It appears that way, the nindroid confirms. Brother, the bronze nindroid whispers, leaning in close to the Master of Ice. I thought he said not to tell him. That is merely a figure of speech. He did not truly mean what he said. I do not understand. I will explain in more detail later, I promise. Okay. So, what am I supposed to do? Ronan can't help the anger from slipping through his tone. How am I supposed to find all of these without a ship? We could help, Nia offers. It's not like we made progress looking for info anyway, and maybe we'll figure something out along the way. Sis, Kai turns to his sister, giving her a look that is cautious at best, mistrustful at worst. That's a pretty big if. Zane and Echo can keep searching for info while we look. She crosses her arms, giving her brother an unamused look. There's no reason not to help him look. We'll help Ronan, Lloyd decides. Thanks. Not because you asked. Lloyd gives him a stern look. But because it'll probably give us another chance to find Jay. Sure, Ronan snorts. As long as I get Rex back, I don't care why you're helping. Cole, the Master of Energy, turns to the Master of Earth. I want you to start planning. Planning for what? The ghost raises an eyebrow at the other, curious. We need to be ready. He squares his shoulders, a determined look appearing on his face as he addressed not just the black ninja, but all of them, to capture Jay. Cyrus Borg wheels into his lab and flicks on the lights. Something moves in the corner of his eye, causing his heart to leap into his throat, and his head whipped over in that direction, his hand tightening on the control of his wheelchair before he breathes a sigh of relief. Jay, he puts a hand to his chest, takes a few deep breaths to try and calm his pounding heart, and turns to the blue ninja who was grinning at him, giving the younger inventor a mild stare. You startled me. Sorry. The other almost has sing-song quality to their voice. I wanted to come by and check up on you, but I couldn't use the front door, or those annoying people would have found me. I see. He carefully shuts the door behind himself and wheels further into the room. While I do appreciate the visit, I would have preferred you called first next time. Also, you did not need to sit in the dark while you waited. I'll keep that in mind. He looks around, hands folded behind his back, and hums thoughtfully. It's amazing everyone trusted your machines after what happened. Cyrus smiles grimly. Yes, it was not easy dealing with the negative publicity that the Overlord caused. The tension in his smile eased a bit as he turned to meet Jay's blue eyes. Was it the artificial lighting that made the color look off? And gratefully says, all of your help did wonders in that regard. I cannot thank you enough. Jay laughs, giddy, lifting a hand to cover his mouth. Mm-hmm, he hums, turning away. Well, I shouldn't dawdle. I did have a reason for coming here. Did you require my help with something? He'd enjoyed building vehicles for the ninja to help them combat the ghost scourge, and he did owe them, so he saw no problems in helping if you were able. Yes and no. Turning to face the other inventor fully, Jay gives him as serious a look as one can give while smiling. You see, you're in possession of a few items I need. I can't guarantee I'll have what you're looking for. I think you misunderstand. The Master of Lightning laughs, his amusement clear and just slightly insulting to the other inventor. I'm looking for two things, which I know you have. The golden armor and the realm crystal. Cyrus's surprise was clear on his face. That's, he hesitates, his eyes lingering on the brilliant blue of the Lightning Master's G. The lighting wasn't changing its color, yet his eyes looked almost... No. Of course, there's a lot of security measures, though, so it'll take some time. I'll call you when I have them. You can't just give me the codes? Or whatever it is you need to deactivate it? I'm afraid not. He tries to act natural, to turn to his computer and have that be the end of the conversation, but a hand shoots out and grabs onto the arm of his wheelchair. Why not? The amusement in the other inventor's eyes had turned dark. Do you have it tuned to your biometrics? I must have been mistaken. This person obviously understands technology. That is a small part of it, yes. He has to be careful to choose his words with care. There's a mixture of codes and biometric locks, as well as the nindroids who are trained to attack any perceived threat. What a shame. He sighs, letting go of Cyrus's wheelchair and setting his hand on the nearby computer. I was hoping this would be easy. Yes, well, I wanted to make absolutely certain that they were secure. From people like me, right? He laughs. I don't know what you mean. You ninja are the ones who asked me to look after these items. Oh, why don't you drop the act? He sighs dramatically. There's a crackling of electricity and the smell of burnt plastic and fried wires fills the air. Now, I'll make this simple. You're going to help me. Or what? There's no or what, little spider. He laughs, stepping away from the computer, hands held up in almost a shrug and crackling with electricity that tinged the same odd shade as his eyes. You're going to help me. I won't help you get the golden armor or the realm crystal, Cyrus says sternly. And people say you're a smart man.